This meeting of the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs will now come to order. It is 10:17 a.m. on Tuesday, May 6, 2025. We're in Capitol Room 124. Members present: Representative Hall, Representative Fields, Representative Nelson, and myself, Representative Aishai, Chair. That the record reflect, we have a quorum to conduct business. Please remember to silence your cell phones for the meeting. I would like to extend a thank you to Cal Brown from House Records and Zach Lawhorn from Juno LIO and the committee aide, Sophie Weiser. First half of our meeting today, we have three items on the agenda. The first one will be House Concurrent Resolution 6, commemorating the 250th anniversary of the United States Marine Corps by Representative Underwood. House Joint Resolution 20, encouraging the United States Congress to establish hiring goals for apprentices and veteran apprentices by Representative Nelson. And third and finally, House Joint Resolution 21, encouraging the United States Congress to designate 2025 as the Year of the Soldier, also by Representative Nelson. First, we're going to look at HCR 6. Here to present HCR 6 is Representative Underwood and Staff Buddy Witt. Welcome. Please come forward, put yourself on the record, and give us an overview of the resolution, please.
Thank you, Chair Aishai, and members of the committee for having us today. We are here. Oh, my name is Jubilee Underwood, representative to District 27, which is Greater Wasilla area. And along with me is my staff, Buddy Witt. Thank you for the opportunity to present House Concurrent Resolution 6. It's a bill to honor the 250th birthday of the United States Marine Corps, a storied institution that has defended our nation with unparalleled courage and sacrifice since its founding on November 10th, 1775. This resolution celebrates the Marines' enduring legacy of service from the earliest battles of the American Revolution to modern conflicts across the globe. It recognizes their role as America's expeditionary force, always ready to answer the call, whether on land, sea, or air. As we approach this historic milestone, we reflect on the values of honor, courage, and commitment that define the Corps and inspire generations. To capture the spirit of the Marines, allow me to share a few words from notable figures. Eleanor Roosevelt, after visiting Marines during World War II, is often quoted saying, "The Marines I have seen around the world have the cleanest bodies and the filthiest minds, the highest morale and the lowest morals of any group of animals I have ever seen. Thank God for the United States Marine Corps." Though some debate the exact wording, her admiration for their spirit is undeniable. President Ronald Reagan, in tribute to their impact, said, "Some people spend their entire lifetime wondering if they made a difference in the world, but the Marines don't have that problem." This speaks to the profound legacy of every Marine who has ever served. And from General John J. Pershing, we hear, "The deadliest weapon in the world is a Marine and his rifle," a testament to the unmatched skill and resolve of these warriors. Excuse me. House Concurrent Resolution 6 calls for statewide commemoration of this milestone, encouraging Alaskans to honor the Marines' contributions through ceremonies, educational programs, and community events. It's a chance to thank the Marines, past and present, for their sacrifices and to reaffirm our commitment to supporting them. In summary, by passing this resolution, we are joining Marines and their families and friends throughout the nation and the world in celebrating this historic 250th birthday milestone. We also remember those Marines who have gone before us, who have helped shape the nation and the Marine Corps that we have today, many of whom gave the ultimate sacrifice for our nation's defense. Let's honor their legacy with the same fidelity they showed us. Semper Fidelis, always faithful. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Underwood. Before you continue, just for the record, Representative Sadler joined us at 10:20 a.m., and Representative Gray joined us at 10:21 a.m. Thank you. And will you be going through your presentation now?
I will now be turning it over to my staff, Buddy Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of real quick slides to go through, just to tell a little bit about the background of the Marine Corps birthday and the Marine Corps itself and their mission, for anyone who may not be familiar. The Marine Corps was established as a branch of the United States military, and its official establishment day was November 10th, 1775. It's tasked with conducting amphibious and expeditionary warfare, providing rapid response, power projection from the sea, and serving as a versatile elite force for national security missions. I think everyone's familiar with the phrase of Marine Corps being America's 911 force, both through Marine Expeditionary Forces and Marine Expeditionary Units that are at any time, anywhere around the world in each of the oceans of the world. In 1775, the Second Continental Congress commissioned innkeeper and former Quaker Samuel Nicholas to raise two battalions of Continental Marines. Now, Tun Tavern was managed by a guy by the name of Robert Mullen, and he became the chief recruiting location for Marines, and Robert Mullen, the tavern's manager, became the chief Marine recruiter. Now, I only mention this because, funny aside, there were actually two bars. One called Tun Tavern, which in downtown Philadelphia, there's actually a marker that shows exactly where Tun Tavern was located. I took a picture of myself with the marker, but I didn't include it because I'm in it. But it's there if you want to see it. Then the other bar was actually called the Conestoga Wagon. And the reason I mention that is the owner of both of those places are actually Samuel Nicholas, and he was considered the father of the Marine Corps. So it was established on November 10th, 1775, and then 18 days later, he is commissioned as an officer of Continental Marines. And you say, why is that? Well, legend has it that over 18 days, they got so many sailors drunk and signed up as Marines that they decided this guy's doing a fantastic job, and they just commissioned him. So I know it's a little odd way of getting it started, but that's how the Marine Corps started. The Marine Corps mission, make Marines, win battle, and create quality citizens. There is that third piece that a lot of people miss sight of. As Marines, after we get out of the Marine Corps, really do try to make their communities better and be good citizens. Every Marine is a rifleman. Some folks don't know this, that once you go through basic military training in the Marine Corps, you go one of two places. You either go an infantry billet and you go to a school of infantry, or you go to another basic combat Marine school where they teach you the fundamentals of being a rifleman. That way, everyone who enters the Marine Corps is, at their core, first and foremost, a Marine rifleman. Currently, there are 170,000 active duty Marines, approximately 170,000 active duty Marines. For specificity, it's a slightly lower than that, and about 33,000 Marine personnel in the reserve component. So the thing that the Marines do, and there is a friendly Marine amendment that will be coming up. We don't call it our anniversary. Marines call it their birthday. The original resolution was mirrored off of the federal resolution that's recognizing the 250 years of the Marine Corps. We mirrored that, but we don't have to. We in Alaska can call it what we want to call it. And quite frankly, the Marine Corps doesn't refer to that annual date as their anniversary. They refer to it as the birthday. Always have, always will. So during the Marine Corps birthday, a lot of things happen. There's the Marine Corps ball. But during the day, we encourage folks to visit the Marine Corps Memorial if you can. Reach out to a Marine. Marine gatherings happen all the time right around the birthday ball. And if you are a Marine or you're a family member of a Marine, it's always good to get together and share stories. I will say, too, as an aside, this summer, if you happen to be in the D.C. area, there will be numerous events around the Marine Corps Memorial. And if everyone's familiar with the Marine Corps Memorial, it is a very large bronze statue located at Arlington National Cemetery that depicts the raising of the flag on Iwo Jima on Mount Suribachi. By the United States Marine Corps during the Battle of Iwo Jima. There will be sunset parades, Drum and Bugle Corps, President's Own, Silent Drill Team that will be going on throughout the summer. In addition to that, there's a Marine Corps ball that will be occurring up here in Alaska, usually at a couple of different places folks seek together. And it's just a good time to celebrate Marines and what they've brought. There's a cake cutting ceremony. It's a big deal in the Marine Corps. It's why I bring it up. There's recognition of the oldest and youngest Marines present. There's quite a bit of things in the drill manual specific to conducting the Marine Corps ball. And I mentioned that there is music and events associated with the Marine Corps ball. Just to share one little aside with you, no matter where the Marine Corps is located, no matter where Marines are located, it's been my experience that somehow, some way, somebody is found to play the Marine Corps hymn and a couple other tunes during the Marine Corps ball. I was in the field one year. I don't know how a CO came up with it, but all of a sudden, a little Lance Corporal with a trumpet showed up in the middle of the field and started playing a couple of tunes. It's something we take very seriously, and we enjoy our birthday celebrations no matter where they are. Finally, there's the reading of the Marine Corps Order 47. So the Marine Corps Order 47, Series 1921, that's the year it was issued. It was issued by Major General John A. Lejeune. And it basically is the order that tells Marines that we are going to celebrate our birthday every year. And I want to read a short passage from that order. This high name of distinction and soldierly repute we who are Marines today have received from those who preceded us in the Corps. With it, we have also received from them the eternal spirit which has animated our Corps from generation to generation and has been the distinguishing mark of the Marines in every age. So long as that spirit continues to flourish, Marines will be found equal to every emergency in the future as they have in the past. And the men of our nation, and I will say women, there are men and women Marines in the Marine Corps now, and the men and women of our nation will regard us as worthy successors to the long line of illustrious men and women who have served as soldiers of the sea since the founding of our Corps. John A. Lejeune, Major General Commandant. That's it. Just a quick overview of the Marine Corps. I will say that if you retain that knowledge, you will probably pass the basic Marine history test given by the Marine Corps Institute. I say that in jest. Semper Fidelis, we hope you support the resolution, and we're happy to answer any general questions about the Marine Corps or about the celebration.
Thank you so much for that excellent presentation. Do we have any questions for the sponsor of this resolution? Representative Nelson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And through the chair to Mr. Witt, can you explain more about your service to the Marine Corps?
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Nelson, I was an enlisted Marine for a number of years. I was a Marine. I was proud to be a Marine. My service wasn't anything incredible to talk about. Did my service and I got out. I was in the reserve component for the vast majority of my service, and I was trained as a rigger in the United States Marine Corps.
Excellent. And follow up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair. Well, Mr. Witt, I appreciate it, and even though supporting the Marine Corps is a great endeavor, and as Army personnel, I will support this resolution, I do want to note for the committee that after World War II, there was a push to remove the Marine Corps just because they figured the Army could do a great job, and I just want to make sure that's on the record, but due to an act of Congress in 1949, they agreed that the U.S. Marine Corps did an amazing job during World War II and continued their service due to amphibious landing and their commitment to the community. So I am glad to support this resolution. I'm glad to bring it forward. A little sibling rivalry. Go Army, beat Navy.
I do love the rivalry, so a lot of fun.
Well, I will say, Mr. Chair, if I may, yes. Through the chair to Representative Nelson, we all serve together with a common goal, common cause. Every single branch of the military has a little bit of a different specialty to them, and as often as possible, the branches work together to a common cause. And I'm sure we all collectively appreciate each other's service. The United States Marine Corps hymn was adopted as the official Marine Corps hymn quite a few years back. And I will say in one of the verses it says that if the Army and Navy ever reach the pearly gates, they'll see the Marine Corps guarding them. So we'll just leave it at that.
Thank you for that. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On a somewhat more serious note, through the chair to the sponsor, is this resolution part of a national effort? Is there a desire to have similar resolutions passed in all the states? Or is this individual to y'all?
Through the chair to Representative Sadler, thank you for that question. I am not aware if it's a national push. I can definitely refer to my staff on that, but thank you.
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, This was done on the representative's own. It was not requested. There are a lot of states that are doing this. We aren't really sure how this snuck under the radar. The 250th birthday of the United States Marine Corps is a pretty big deal. We're happy to sponsor it, but this was by no means a push by the Navy League or Marine Corps League or any other group to try to do this. We hope it happens, though.
Follow up.
This is emblematic of the officer asking the senior NCO to answer the question. That's great. Can you advance a little more information about what the Marine Corps writ large is doing? You made some mention of the celebrations. Can you tell us any more about what's happening nationally, what the national observance is going to be? You did partially. I don't know if that's complete.
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, thank you for the question. That's a great question. So the United States Marine Corps, on their website, they have a full list of all official United States Marine Corps events, sunset parades, the specific dates and times of those parades, how to get, if you need to get tickets. There are also some, I don't believe that there are going to be sunset parades at the Marine Corps barracks at 8th and I in D.C. this year because of it being the 250th birthday. I think they've opted to go to Arlington because it's a larger venue. They expect larger crowds. But you want to check that. The Marine Corps, at every single location where there is an active duty Marine Corps unit or reserve component unit, you will find a Marine Corps ball. I could guarantee that. There is an NCO in charge of putting together and selling tickets to the ball and getting folks in there. So that every single year, that's what you're looking at as the national effort.
A follow-up.
And I have had the privilege of attending the Marine Corps ball, and it is indeed a ball. Just for the reference of folks here in the public, what is the Marine Corps unit? I believe it's a reserve unit right now. We're heavy Air Force, heavy Army, thanks to J-Bear, but there are reserve units. Can you tell us more about the Marine Corps' presence in Alaska and mission?
Thank you. Through the chair, to Representative Sadler. So currently, it is a military police detachment that's located here as a reserve component. Last time I looked, however, previous to that, it was a reserve force reconnaissance company that was that's been a change, and now we need more Marines. So I think Alaska needs more Marines, and it'd be good to have them. And so hopefully, there'll be more to talk about in the coming years.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And just for the record, Representative Aller joined us at 10:32 a.m. from House Finance, I believe, and may be going back to that. But thank you for joining us. Any further questions for the sponsor? Representative Gray.
Hi, thank you. I have a question through the chair, but I'll start by just saying that as an Army person myself, I have misidentified Marine Corps in the past because everything that's not Army to me is other, and I just want to apologize.
Thank you.
The misidentifications that I have done in the past where I've literally been like, I don't know, are you Air Force, Marines, whatever. But I acknowledge that the 250th anniversary of the Marine Corps is a big deal, and happy birthday. When did women start serving? That's the question.
Through the chair, Representative Gray, I should know the answer to that, and I do not. And I apologize to the ladies in the room. I will find out and get back to you.
Thank you.
And if I may add a comment as well. Marines are kind of picky about pronouns because we do not like being called a soldier. I don't know if that's a pronoun, but we don't like being called soldiers. So thank you for recognizing that and being aware of that.
Representative Eller?
Just a quick comment. I'm not offended that you don't know.
Thank you.
I know
just in case.
Right, yeah. And I know it's a very small elite number. So
I believe it was in the 70s. I will find out.
Okay, seeing no further questions at this time, I'd like to open HCR 6 for public testimony. Public testimony is now open. Is there anyone in the room that I'd like to testify on this resolution? Seeing no one in the room, we'll go online. And I do not see anybody online. So, since no one wants to testify, we will now close public testimony. I do have a friendly amendment to HCR 6, so I move amendment number 1 and will object for purposes of discussion. That should be at your table. And this was a request from the sponsor to change the word anniversary to birthday They did speak to it eloquently during their presentation. Are there any questions about the amendment? Representative Sadler.
Chair, for the record, I will object for purpose of discussion. I'm not sure you can make a, move it and then object to it at the same time, so just to cover our bases procedurally.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. So we do have an objection. Any further discussion on the amendment? Representative Sadler.
Mr. Chair, I withdraw my objection.
Okay, the objection has been withdrawn. Any further objection? Seeing none, amendment number one is adopted. Seeing no further amendments, it is my intention to move HCR 6 from committee today, and I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Concurrent Resolution 6, Work Order 34-LS0935/A as an alpha from committee as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Seeing no objection, House Concurrent Resolution 6 is reported out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and accompany zero fiscal note. We'll now take a brief at ease to sign the required paperwork. At ease. We are back on the record. We will now go to HJR 20. Here to present HJR 20 is Representative Nelson and his staff, Bogdan Gilmutinov. Please come forward, put yourself on the record, and give us an overview of the resolution, please.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the House Special Committee on Military and Veteran Affairs. For the record, I am Representative David Nelson, representing Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in House District 18. I want to thank the committee so much for allowing me to present House Joint Resolution Number 20, encouraging United States Congress to establish hiring goals for apprentices and veteran apprentices. This resolution really is aiming to assist those veterans preparing in transitional life from the armed services to civilian life. In 2024, 65% of unemployed veterans were age 18 through 54, meaning a majority of unemployed veterans are in their prime working age. These veterans are rigorously trained by the Department of Defense and are skilled, motivated, making them highly valuable in the workforce. House Joint Resolution Number 20 would encourage Congress to establish hiring goals for domestic DOD construction projects, namely for individuals who are participating in qualified apprentices or post-secondary programs. These hiring goals would be no less than 10% of the total workforce employed and the performance of the project, with no less than 10% of those being veterans. Promoting the inclusion of veterans in DOD-funded construction projects would enhance the workforce with individuals who are accustomed to working in complex and demanding environments. This would create a concrete foundation for countless individuals who are protected and served our great country. I urge the House Committee on Military Veteran Affairs to encourage Congress to establish these hiring goals and support those who wore this uniform in defense of the United States. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the sponsor? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, through the chair. Thank you, Representative Nelson, for introducing this. Having worked in this field a little bit myself, I appreciate you taking it to several steps further. I think it's important to make sure that the young veterans get their legs under them and get a good career going, because they are indeed highly trained, highly motivated, great employees. My question, however, is 10% of a workforce is a pretty substantial portion of a workforce. Do you have any information, or have anyone who can tell me, is that a typical proportion of workforce on a job? I understand Alaska military construction is a big deal, but 10% is a lot. How did you come up with that number?
Thank you, through the chair, to Representative Sadler. The 10% is just a goal. It's not establishing a requirement. It's a goal to achieve, and that 10% of 10% is just something that a company, a DoD project, can strive towards. Okay. You know, we have to get the ball rolling. I would love to see 100% of military veterans getting to work, but realizing just how the practicality of that, you know, 10% is a good starting point, and then we just work on it from there.
Any further questions from the committee? Representative Allard.
Thank you. So right now, the workforce is comprised of 4.6% of the labor force in the country, and your goal is to, through this, perhaps, is it for Alaska to go up to 6%? Is that, or to go up 6% more to have that 10% goal? Is that what you're saying?
So this isn't just focused to Alaska. This is asking Congress to establish these goals. So this would be over the entire DOD installation construction projects. So Alaska would have 4.5%. If we could get up to 10 participating in these construction projects, that would be great. Like I said with Representative Sadler previously, is these are just goals. It's not necessarily a strict amount to get to.
Follow up. Doesn't the federal government already have a military preference, veteran preference? How would this change that is, I guess, what I'm asking. How would this resolution do that?
Yeah, so this is different than any other one that you see, say, hiring preferences for other jobs. This is strictly for the contracts themselves. When in the bidding process, they say, hey, you want to establish a goal of hiring so many apprentices, and so many of those apprentices be military veterans.
Okay, one last question.
Follow up.
But this would be based on qualified veterans, not just because you're a veteran, you're going to get this job. It's based on if you're a qualified and you're a veteran, then you're going to have preference. Is that what you're looking at? I don't have it in front of me. I apologize. I read it once, but I just want a little bit more clarification.
Yeah, and through the chair to Representative Allard, this would be more in that fact of you wouldn't have a preference. It's just something that directs these DOD contracts to look more at for someone that has is going through an apprenticeship program that has a veteran. It was just something to pay more attention to.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Then I have a question, Representative Nelson, on the apprenticeship number. Is there any, just to provide some context for me, is there any legal or suggested ratio of journeyman to apprentice in any kind of job site? It just occurred to me, and I was wondering, is there any so many journeymen per apprentice? Do you have any information on that? Is that a thing?
And through the chair, to the chair, Representative Eichheit, that would be a little bit above my wheel well, just of that comparison on a job site specifically, just because different sites and different comparison between apprenticeship and master. But I can get back to you on that, and I imagine some of the testifiers might be able to explain that a bit more for you.
Thank you. I'd appreciate that. I know in transportation we're talking about an apprentice target for road construction projects, and there was some discussion. Representative Fields.
Yes, just to answer your question, apprenticeship guidelines are consistent across the country, and all the building trades have a one-to-one journey worker to apprentice ratio. So when you look at apprenticeship utilization targets, pretty much all the targets or requirements that are out there in public policy range from 10 to 15 to 20%. And in that range, those ranges have also been Alaska policy for DOT going back to the Murkowski administration. So anywhere between 10 and 20% is well documented to be achievable on a wide range of projects in many jurisdictions.
Thank you. Very helpful. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, through the chair, Representative Nelson. The resolve clause of your resolution asks encourages Congress to introduce and pass legislation to achieve the goal. Is this likely, in your view, to be standalone legislation, or are there other legislative vehicles that the U.S. Congress might upon which this might be a good rider? I guess my question is how do you best see Congress implementing the goals of this resolution?
Through the chair to Representative Sadler, that is an interesting question. I believe that just would be up to the individual congressperson itself. Preferably for myself, I would like to have this just be its own piece of legislation, just because I think more attention needs to be paid to veterans and to apprenticeship programs and the transitional. But that is just my own ideal, just off of my previous experience working with transitional services and working with personnel, both military and retirees.
Appreciate that. And a follow-up?
And
I'll note, it's clear on the record that this resolution would be spread rather liberally among people in the Congress and the executive branch and our delegation. So a good idea. I'm confident, fairly confident, that one of our good members of our congressional delegation would pick this up and run with it. So having the encouragement from us will help, and I'm glad to do it.
Representative Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, Representative Nelson, I have a question for you. Page 2, line 7, the whereas clause, it reads as though it's referencing national numbers as far as the unemployment rates for both male and female veterans, and that they increased in early 2025. Do you know what they increased from in 2024?
No, I don't have those numbers right at hand, but I can get those back to you, Representative Hall.
Thank you. And follow-up?
Follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, Representative Nelson, my follow-up question has to do with, do we know what the unemployment rates are for Alaskan veterans? Not seeing it as I'm wading through. Do you know what that stat is?
And through the chair to Representative Hall, I declined to put that in the resolution just because this is going to Congress to be nationwide. And I don't want to misquote with you just because I don't have the current DMVA personnel on hand. But like I said, I will get back to you on current numbers of unemployed veterans in the state of Alaska.
One last follow-up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, if when providing and seeking that information, would you also please break it out by gender as it is listed here in page 2, line 7?
Perfect. Yep,
Thank you.
Representative Allard.
Thank you. I believe it's about 20 to 25% of military veterans right now are contracted and hired by DOD contractors. So 10% is probably a lower goal. So maybe we need to make it higher and say 35%, because right now they do hire between 20 and 25% veterans through contracting services, so Department of Defense.
And
please
follow up. Through the chair to Representative Allard, no, I agree with you, and that is correct. Just speaking off my own personal experience with that, and having many soldiers under my command that have became contractors with DOD, that number is around correct. What this is stressing is mainly towards looking at apprenticeship program, because one of the major things that soldiers enjoy doing exiting the military is getting into some of the workforce construction trades. So that's where this is kind of more focused towards.
Thank you. I appreciate that clarification. I am off, and thank you so much, but I have another.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative Allard. Representative Fields?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, if committee members want to increase the number, 20% is the highest end of what's, I think, shown to be feasible in construction, given the journey worker to apprentice ratio.
Thank you. I think I'd like to move to invited testimony. We do have Kyle Kaiser from Viper Transitions online to present invited testimony. Mr. Kaiser, can you unmute and put yourself on the record and provide your testimony, please?
Hi, my name is Kyle Kaiser. I'm a resident of Chugiak, Alaska. I work in the military transition space a lot, and particularly with the building and construction trades and apprenticeships. And I'm in full support of House Joint Resolution 20. So to add some points of clarification, the information I looked at this morning, Alaska's veteran unemployment rate is right around 4.9%. So not horrible, but higher than the national average. And part of the reason I support this resolution is we know we have congressional representatives pushing to bring more work to Alaska with DOD infrastructure and building out our defense systems across across the state. And a resolution like this goes towards helping them achieve those goals with bringing the work. But then we have to man it. In my experiences, we have around 20% of the vets that come to us are able to stay in Alaska. It's not due to not wanting to stay. It's due to how are they going to get started. I myself was an Army infantry, served just under 7 years, did a tour in Iraq and Afghanistan. And getting out of the military, the apprenticeship was really necessary to get a skill set that made me marketable to civilian employers. And so when we're looking at DOD projects across the board as a whole, construction is one of the top categories that veterans transition into. Historically, it's been ranked as high as number three, the first being federal government jobs, state and municipal governments were two, and then construction had brought up number three. So you have a lot of veterans looking to get into construction when they get out. Part of the issue is the process from exiting the military and getting going in that career. So what we're asking Congress to do and what this resolution does is to put legislation in place to achieve those targeted goals, right? And as Representative Nelson said, there's no hard line on it has to be 10% or has to be 20%, but we need to raise the bar. You know, we need to set goals for people to achieve in contracting. And I think part of the reason that this would be a successful resolution and would help Congress get this done is that it really speaks to true government efficiency. They spend billions of dollars on infrastructure work every year, and they also spend hundreds of millions of dollars on veteran unemployment insurance. When a vet leaves the service and is not working, the DOD part of their budget goes to pay unemployment insurance claims. So if you're able to take a service member getting out of the military, get them into a transition program that's going to place them into apprenticeship, building out DOD's infrastructure, you're meeting the needs of DOD for manning and building the work that they need done for the infrastructure they need, but you're also helping them by saving them some money on unemployment costs. I think this would further benefit us when you look at veterans affairs and health care for veterans. When you have private health care and you go to see the VA, they will bill your private insurance, so it won't necessarily impact us as the veteran receiving our services, but it allows the VA's budget to go further because they're not spending as much to service those veterans because they have private insurance. So I think all the way around, this resolution supports legislation that would be a win-win for everyone involved. It helps America develop its workforce. It helps us take care of veterans getting out of the military. It helps us man the work that we need to man in order to keep our national defenses where they need to be. And I think that's really the points I wanted to bring out is that I think this does help address a lot of issues that veterans face. I got into this space over veteran suicide, and you know, there's been numerous studies now to this point that prove that transitioning into a good, solid career does have positive effects on your mental health and will reduce suicide rates. So the more we can do to ensure that our service members are transitioning into in-demand careers, like an apprenticeship, to go build out our infrastructure, you're giving them purpose, you're giving them something to push for, to strive for. They know what they're doing, why they're doing it. They're still serving their country. And I like to say you're just taking off the uniform and putting on a different one. You're still serving your country, building out the infrastructure that's needed. There's a whole lot of other benefits I could get into with regards to how, you know, security clearances and contractors being able to keep those updated and have a workforce that can go build stuff that you might have to wait a decent amount of time to get clearances back that's come with those things. And this is pushing for apprenticeships. So when you have apprenticeships, it also means you got to put out more journeymen. There are ways across various states for service members with experience in construction to sit for state exams and get their different required licenses to not be just apprentices, but also potentially come in as journeymen. And those are things outside of Alaska that I've seen moving and are exciting, and I hope to see hit our state eventually. But it really helps the country grow its workforce and take care of our veterans. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Kaiser, for your testimony. Are there any final questions for the sponsor or Mr. Kaiser? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's not a question per se, but it's a statement. Clearly, the record shows I'm proud to be a co-sponsor, and I appreciate Representative Nelson, who does so much for our active and veterans, to bring this forward. It's important for the state to support veteran training and apprenticeship and employment, and we know in Alaska that the military construction budget is a very important part of our economy and building our infrastructure. And frankly, it's an annual cycle, and the clock is ticking. If this resolution deserves our support in this committee, and I firmly believe it does, I believe it deserves quick support for progress to the rest of the committee structure and the floor process so we can deliver this message to Congress in time to catch the next cycle and turn this into effect for a positive benefit for our veterans. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Anything the sponsor wants to say before we move on? Okay. Assuming no one needs an at ease, we are going to move on to HJR 21. Representative Nelson and his staffer, you are in the position. Would you like to put yourself on the record again and give us an overview of HJR 21? And if you need an at ease, just hold on.
No, we're good to go. Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to thank again the committee for hearing House Joint Resolution number 21. For the record, my name is David Nelson, representative for House District 18, which encompasses downtown Anchorage as well as Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. I want to talk about today HJR 21, encouraging United States Congress to designate 2025 as the Year of the Soldier. Since ancient times, nations have raced to develop and advance the structure, tactics, discipline, and technology within their military forces to stay ahead of competition. Systems in place during the 18th century directly contributed to the origins of the United States Armed Forces. During our earliest period as a country, the British Army was truly a professional organization with strict class structure, highly trained officers, and disciplined as well supplied troops. Rugged structure led military experts to believe that no body of poorly trained civilians could stand before such a professional army. Following the events of the Boston Tea Party, tension between the U.S. and Britain escalated, culminating in the Battle of Lexington and Concord, which just celebrated its 250th anniversary a couple weeks ago on April 19th. 2 months later, on June 14th, 1775, the Continental Congress voted to create the Continental Army and appointed and appointed General George Washington as Commander-in-Chief, marking the birth of the United States Army. The Army faced great challenges such as lack of equipment and ammunition, limited pay, inconsistent food rations, and a much better trained and supplied enemy force. Despite those factors, the Continental Army found success due to resourcefulness, flexibility, and leadership similar to the country that was just founded and that they were representing. Since then, the United States Army has been involved in countless wars and conflicts all over the globe, building on rich traditions that trace their roots to the founding of this country. Today, the Army oversees the most advanced warfighting apparatus in the world, which includes training, support, intelligence, and the best logistical network of any military in history. Designating 2025 as Year of the Soldier provides an opportunity for our nation to collectively recognize and celebrate the individual role that soldiers play in safeguarding our nation and our freedoms. This designation encourages educational initiatives, community events, and public ceremonies that highlight the service and sacrifice that soldiers have made since the dawn of our nation. Let us celebrate the 250th birthday of the United States Army by reaffirming our commitment to those who have given so much for us throughout the history. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Are there any questions for the sponsor of this resolution before we move to invited testimony? Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Nelson. So is the 250th anniversary of the Army going to be a better party than the 250th anniversary of the Marine Corps?
Through the chair to Representative Sadler, of course, we are all one team, one fight in the military, and it happens that with the birth of our nation and 250 years ago, that so many, including our little brother, Armed Services, the Marine Corps, happened to fall on the same birth year. But, yes, we do have a better party, and I can say that military balls through Army style are a more fun than the Marine Corps balls. But that's just personal opinion.
Sure. Further questions? Okay, thank you for that. I would like to go to our invited testimony. We have Bernard Aalto, former U.S. Army, is here to provide an invited testimony. Bernard, if you could put yourself on your record and present your testimony. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee. My name is Bernard Aalto, for the record. I work as staff to Representative Stapp, but for this instance, I'm testifying on my own behalf. I joined the U.S. Army in 2012 as a field artillery enlisted service member. I served in Headquarters Battery 2-8 Field Artillery stationed at Fort Wainwright, Alaska, from 2012 to 2016, in which I served as a field artillery radar operator. I served as an expert sharpshooter and machine gunner in my squad. And I wanted to testify on in support of this piece of legislation. Soldiers, I think it was identified earlier that other branches of the armed services sometimes get misidentified as soldiers. And although that is can come at the detriment of other branches, it comes as a great honor to those who have served in our U.S. Army. And I think that the sponsor recognizes that. And I think on top of myself, there are other members of legislative staff who serve in this building who are former Army officers and enlisted. I think that being in the U.S. Army provides a good sense of adaptability, tolerance, and patience, and I think this is a great way to honor our service members in the U.S. Army.
Thank you. Any questions, final questions? I would like to make a comment then. I really appreciate this resolution. I'm somewhat biased. My older brother is an Army veteran, so I appreciate the service of many members on this committee, and I appreciate this resolution. Okay, seeing no further questions, did Representative Nelson, you want to make another statement?
Yes, and through the chair, in answer of Representative Gray's previous question on some of the prior legislation, it is well known that the first female Army veteran was during the Revolutionary War. It was Deborah Sampson who decided to cut her hair and join up on this revolutionary cause. And hidden, aka Mulan style, fight alongside everyday soldiers in spirit of the United States Army and spirit of the United States. And it wasn't until the First World War and the Spanish-American War that the United States Army designated the United States Army Nursing Corps, which integrated females into the United States Army. And from there, we have celebrated females being in the United States military ever since.
Thank you. I appreciate that context. Seeing no further questions, I am setting an amendment deadline for both HJR 20 and HJR 21 for this Friday, May 9th, at noon. If you have any amendments, please work at my office, and we'll get it done. This concludes our agenda for today. I'd like to thank everyone that appeared before the committee. We have no meeting on Thursday, May 8th. At this time, this meeting of the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs is adjourned at 11:06 a.m.